All right, welcome to Raw Talk episode 2. We've been wanting to do more podcasting, so here we are. Mariah, photographer. I do marketing and business strategy, so let's just dive right into it. How long ago can you remember where photography was first introduced to you?
Well, it actually kind of started a little bit later in my life. Like, I don't have one of those stories where, like, oh, I was, like, 2 years old taking, you know, pictures
picked
and
up
stuff.
A camera.
And, like, no, it definitely started later in life. I want to say I was in high school, like, the beginning of high school. My grandparents, I think it was my freshman year, I ended up missing the first 2 weeks of freshman year, so like
that must have been pretty nice.
It was great. I thought it was great.
Great start to high school.
I was like shocked that my mom and my grandparents like even let me do that. But for 2 weeks, they took me to Germany and Austria.
Nice.
And yeah, it was amazing. It was like my first time overseas.
Were you scared?
No, not at all. I was super excited. I just didn't really know what to expect. I was just, you know, excited for a new adventure to, you know, see a completely different culture. And while we were there, I remember my grandpa brought his camera. Oh my gosh, it was so old school. It was like, probably like this big. It had a digital screen on the back, so it wasn't too old school.
For those of them can't see, how big, what did you say?
Oh gosh, it was probably the size, I'm trying to think of like what I could compare it to. It's like
an iPad?
Yeah, like probably like the newer iPads that are a little bit smaller.
iPad mini.
Yeah,
iPad
it's
mini.
Like an iPad mini size. Okay. We'll go with that. And then it was funny because the digital screen on the back was like probably the size of like an iPod Nano or something, like super small, like, right? So you have like this huge camera, but then the screen was just like this tiny
little
thing. Yeah, but it, you know, it was the new feature. It was super cool. Anyways, so on that trip, I basically took my grandpa's camera hostage. I don't think he even used it. It was like around my neck the whole time. And I don't know, just being in a new setting, in a new place, I was just inspired. And I think I ended up taking, like, you know, back then the memory cards could only hold, like, 150 images. So I think I ended up filling up, like, 10 cards with just, like, thousands of images. And I just had so many, and that's kind of, like, what sparked it. And then I ended up getting my own DSLR camera, a Nikon, for my 16th birthday, like, I think it was the year after I took that trip, and ever since then, I took photography classes in high school. Luckily, I was lucky enough that my high school had a photography class, and we also had a dark room, which, like,
Yeah. Film rooms and everything being film. In high schools. I've seen it obviously in colleges and stuff like that, but
yeah, film is actually like probably one of my favorite things. If I could still do film to this day, I would. I would love to have a dark room and be able to like develop photos and stuff again. That was so much fun. Like doing the developing part of film photography is more exciting to me than the digital editing.
I definitely can contest to that because I know technology and Mariah does not go hand in hand.
I'm not the best with technology, but
and also with your photos today, they're not photoshopped. You don't like going deep into editing that way, which is probably why film is so
because it's so raw. It's like you get what you get and you can't really
change anything.
Change it except for like the exposure.
Could you change the colors?
Well, my high school didn't have, there are color dark rooms, which they actually had at Columbia College, Chicago, where we went to,
Ryan and I both went to college there, yeah.
They had a color dark room, but my high school only had a black and white dark room, so, yeah, all the images were black and white, so all you could really do was, adjust the exposure. I remember having to do like these little test strips before you printed the whole photo. Hmm. You'd have to do a little test strip, doing different exposures so that you could decide, you know, which, like, how light or dark you would want the photo to come out, basically.
So, sidetracking here a little bit, Polaroids. Mm. I know Polaroids today are, I would say...
They're coming back.
I definitely say they're coming back. There's a lot more. I know Urban Outfitters has, every time I go into there, which is not very often, but I do go into there, there always is a bunch of different Polaroid cameras there, even in Target. I mean, I just see them at any tech place that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts about Polaroids, and would you do Polaroids?
I mean, yeah, I think it's a fun way, especially in this day and age. People take so many pictures on their phones.
Right, that's another thing.
And they just get left on their phones, or they just get lost in the vast endlessness of the cloud or whatever, you know, and you never really have them printed. You never really have them physically in your hand or be able to, like, put them up on your walls. So I think Polaroids are awesome because you can literally just snap the picture and it immediately gets printed right then and there. And
right. I know there's a lot of...
You have that photo to, like, share with your friends in person, or to put, you know, I see a lot of people make, like, those Polaroid walls where it's just, like, a collage
of all their friends and memories and stuff like that.
I mean, I think that's so fun to have that, like, physically in your hand, rather than, you know, just, like, having it on your phone or on your computer.
Right. Talk about Zoom Studios Polaroid specifically. Why that came up in your head? Like, I mean, I know the company that we work with in Minnesota who does our printing for the photos had that option, which is probably another reason why we wanted to do it. But help the person that has Polaroids on their wall, their family, their friends, their memories, and how can Zoom Studios landscapes kind of photo your photos on a Polaroid be decorative to their space?
Well, yeah, I think so. Our minis, I guess is what we call them, are just kind of a fun way to do different things with your photos. So they're Polaroid size, they're small, so you can kind of put them anywhere. You could make a Polaroid wall with them. You could just, like, have a few hanging up here and there. Like, if you live in a smaller apartment, you don't have a lot of wall space, I think the Polaroids are great for that purpose. Also, like, I know we kind of made a few videos a while back on different ways you can display them and stuff. So they're a lot easier to obviously hang up than, like, a giant photo. It's not as stressful of, like, having to get it level and getting, like, the nails in there and stuff. It's a little bit less complicated in that sense. You could also, you know, like, stick a magnet on the back of them and have them all over your fridge and stuff. Or if you have another magnetic surface.
Another thing that... what you said is that if somebody goes to our website and sees multiple photos that they like, that they can get the minis, you know, get 10, I think we have 10, you get 10 minis with our set, and they can pick all 10 of their favorites.
Yeah.
You know?
If and you're then, like me, where you're very indecisive and you have, like, multiple favorites and you can't just choose one big one for your wall and you have, like, multiple that you want, yeah, you're right. I think that's a great way to get, you know, more than one, get all your favorites. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, so what else?
What about you? Did you ever really get into photography of any sort?
My dad was always into photography. I remember as a little kid, he would go on his trips with his friends to Utah, pretty much all over the states and out of the country. Honestly, he would always try to get my siblings and I, my sisters and I, into it, but I never was really into it. I think Sammy, my middle sister, got into it a little bit in high school, I want to say. I'm pretty sure my dad gave her a camera. And she got into it. Alexis, I think she went on trips with him, but I was little. I definitely, personally, I did not Well, I wasn't really into it. I didn't get it. I didn't, I was more into the music mm-hmm. and more into the sports, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
I did do that for a little bit in high school too. I was like part of the, yearbook crew and the, like our little school news crew and stuff. So I did like some sports photography yeah. there for a little bit.
I think the closest I got to photography was videography. In high school,
really got into that part of it.
In high school, my best friend Zach,
Zach and Zach. Spelled differently though, right?
Yeah, it was. But we would have these class competition kind of things, and you would have to do like a video about it and around it and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I would help him with the audio, and then I would also help him sometimes with the video. And then we would have to edit the video, and like he would always edit the video, and I would do the audio. And I kind of got into it there. Not as much so, though, but...
Yeah, for me, I never really got too much into video. I think there was one incident in my high school career that kind of... just made me not want to do video anymore. I remember in my history class, we had this like huge project where we had to create this video, like reenact, make like a scene, like mini movie kind of thing. I remember it was myself and I think three of my friends. And it took us like 2 weeks just to record this thing.
Yeah.
We had a few incidences. I remember we almost burned down my house in one of the scenes.
I almost burned down my house too. Zach and I almost burned down our house.
Was it during a video? It was not recording a video.
It was just us being boys what if we light this little stick on fire? And then that stick light another stick on fire, and we lived in the woods.
Don't light things on fire, kids.
We lived in the woods, so that
especially
little,
in the woods,
that little stick became a big bushfire, and then we had to call my mom and help like get that. But Zach and I have a good memory about that, and so does my mom. But
yeah,
back to your story.
Well, so yeah, we were just recording this one scene, and you know, it was supposed to take place in, gosh, I don't even remember the time frame, but they basically didn't have electricity at the time, so we had to record this part of the video with candles all around this table. And my friend Priscilla, she had a piece of paper and she was like reading something off of it, and the corner of it just caught fire, and like it was just like up in flames, and of course she got scared, so she just dropped it and it landed on my carpet, and like thought that was gonna catch on fire. Luckily we were all like quick to react, and It was quite the experience. But after those like 2 weeks of recording this dang video, I remember it was probably like 2 a.m, we were editing this thing, which is, I think, one of the reasons why I never got into video was the whole editing process of it. It was just too much for me.
It's long.
It was literally, I think, like 2, 3 a.m, we were almost done. And all of a sudden, literally all our clips just, I don't know what happened. They just disappeared. You got like the little screen where it had like the movie clip that was like broken in half. And it was basically like an error, like being like, all your clips are not valid. You can't view
them.
Somebody
pushed
like,
the wrong button.
Still to this day, we have no idea what happened. I remember we called like, I don't even remember who we called. I think we called like HP or something, or like whatever company we were making this video in, and we were like, help us! We're like, we don't know where any of our clips went. Like, somebody, like, do something. Like, bring them back. Like,
oh my gosh.
And it was a mess. I think eventually we got them back, but I don't think we slept that night.
I don't think I would either.
Yeah, and so after that, I was like, nope. Still to this day, like, he does all the editing for all of our Zoom videos and everything. I'm just like, I'm not
even touching that. It's nothing, you know, extravagant or anything like
that.
Yeah,
but I still can't even, like...
I can basically make a timeline and do the simple stuff. But I would love to learn how to do the more extravagant things and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just feel like my... expertise is elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, you talked a little bit about it. You got into music.
Yeah. Yeah, the last podcast I talked a little bit about music and stuff like that.
What really got you into the music?
I don't know. Just growing up, I listened to a bunch of music and got into it. I played the violin for a couple of years.
I always wanted to play the violin.
Yeah, my older sister played violin, I played violin, and then Sammy played the cello. We got into that for a little bit. We did some concerts, you know. I did a solo up on stage when I was like 8 or 10 or something around there. It was fun. It was fun. But at one point in time, there is always a time where you're just like not feeling it as much.
Sure, Did your parents make you do that? Or were you like, I'm going to go play the violin?
No, I definitely was not like, I'm going to go play the violin. No.
So it was kind of a parent call. Because I remember one of my friends, her parents like made her play piano. She hated it.
My mom probably can attest to this and tell me, but I don't remember really. I just remember one day I had a violin lesson and I had to go to it. So
sounds like a parent thing, yeah. And their parents are like, all right, but you're trying the violin.
Also, we had a lot of family friends that did it. I'm pretty sure that probably my mom thought, oh, well, so-and-so does it. Like, you can hang out with them and play and play, you know. And so, but yeah, between that and listening to music and just, that's the only sheet music I remember being able to read. Honestly, now I don't even know. I forgot everything I ever knew about reading sheet music, and it just kind of went out the window.
Yep.
But listening to music, I just have an ear. I just have an ear for like sounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not as good as being like, oh, that's an E, that's a G, that's a C.
You don't have that perfect pitch. I don't have that perfect pitch. Yeah.
But what I do have is that I have the flow and the rhythm and the melody in my head, and like, I remember in high school, I would always serenade the women with my guitar. At least try to.
Sure, they loved that.
At least try to. They didn't, because I would do it to every single girl. And then they would find out, you did that to Becky? You did that to Tina?
So like, I'm what? Not special.
Yeah, exactly. But I honestly would just go with what sounded good, especially on the acoustic guitar I got for my birthday. I think it was freshman, sophomore year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
My parents got me an acoustic guitar, and I learned just the basic chords, G and E and F and A and F sharp, like those type of things. And then I would basically just spend hours in my room fiddling around with the guitar, seeing what I could do, and just sometimes I could pluck away with my fingers and just like get used to it and stuff like that. But I'd make songs. I'd put them up on YouTube, which are all deleted now, which I kind of regret.
Darn it.
I really regret deleting all that. But
you have some on SoundCloud, though, don't you?
I have some on SoundCloud.
Kind of older.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much how I got into music. And then I really, like I said, I was making music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into the recording of it and then putting it up on YouTube. And I really got into the recording and like wanting to learn more about how to master that. So in college, I was gonna go for physical therapy, and then my older sister Alexis found Columbia College, mm-hmm. which was an art college school. And so at that point I was like, all right, I'm gonna go for music full time. I'm gonna do that, like learn about it, which I did 2 years of it. And then got to the physics part of it and was like, I don't understand any of this, but I gained a lot from it. You know, I gained a lot from it. I learned a lot from it, and I still do it to this day. Just, I definitely have to do that more.
So like before music, before all that stuff, like when you were a little kid, like what was it that you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to grow up. And that little kid dream of like, yeah, I'm going to be a football player. Like, you know, like,
It was a bunch of different things, honestly. I don't think there was ever one thing that I was like, I'm going to be this.
Yeah.
For me, I had the opportunity to, I was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So, my family and my parents was always supportive of whatever it was that I wanted to do.
That's good.
So
at one
point it was sports. I played a lot of sports. Basketball was especially one of my favorite sports to play. Soccer, mm-hmm. baseball. I eventually later on in high school got into cross country, which that was just a thing to keep me in shape for basketball. But it was a bunch of different things. I got into paintball. I thought I wanted to become like a paintball star and stuff like that. Which I did actually compete in a couple tournaments with my friend in high school, but that didn't go far. And then there was always just that point that I was just, I found something else new.
Yeah.
But I would always, once I dove into something new, I would always go 110%. And then eventually it would kind of dwindle off and I would pick up something else and want to do that.
Sure.
So,
I mean, in a way that's cool because you get to experience, you know, so many different things. Yeah. Whereas, you know, some people, they start when they're, you know, like itty bitty, can barely walk, and they do it till, and that's their career, and
yeah,
they're really freaking good at it, but that's the only thing they know. That's the only thing they've tried, you know. I was kind of the same way growing up. I think the very first thing I wanted to be was a gymnast. I wanted to be an Olympian. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to win a freaking gold medal. Unfortunately, that dream died real quick when I think I broke fingers, both my wrists, both my ankles.
Oh my God.
I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks because my back.
Somebody listening to this is probably thinking that you have such deformed bones and hands. Well, and like,
I'll admit, I am a very short stature. It runs in my family. And you know, my bone mass is not the, you know, the best. When I was younger, I hated milk. I hated drinking milk. Like, it was fine in my cereal, but like, give me a glass of milk. Nope.
That's all I drank as a kid is chocolate milk.
No, I mean, literally. Chocolate milk I could do. Chocolate milk was okay.
Milk too. Like every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, milk, 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 milk.
No, I remember, on my parents are divorced. So on my dad's side of the family, my dad's mom, my grandma on that side, they lived on a farm, so whenever you go there, you would get a glass of milk with your meal, no matter what.
Was it fresh?
When I was like really young, I think they actually had cows, but like as I got older, they didn't do the livestock anymore. They just had corn and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it didn't matter. You had to drink your milk, all of it, before you were able to get up from the. And I hated milk, so I just remember like forcing myself to drink this milk. That was the only time I would drink milk, I think, in the whole, like, for, like, good 15 years of my life. That was the only time I drank milk. But, yeah, so my bones just couldn't handle the whole gymnastics scene. It was very tough. And, honestly, it was tough, too, because, like, after breaking so many bones and having so many injuries, you kind of lose that fearlessness that you need to be a gymnast when you're just like throwing yourself and flipping through the air. And you know, like once you have that moment of fear and you're thinking about that before you're supposed to go do, you know, a backflip, it's tough. It's tough when you got that in the back of your head and you're kind of psyching yourself out. So that ended. And then, I got more into the art side of things. I wanted to be like a fashion designer or a stylist or something of that nature for a bit.
You're definitely still into that.
I've always loved clothes. I've always loved fashion. When I was really young, I wouldn't let anybody dress me.
Yeah, you only see us in person.
Myself.
I'm sporty. I'm sporty and just like have like Nike on or sweatpants and like my basketball shoes or something, maybe a simple top.
Mm-hmm.
But you, on the other hand, like lay out your outfits, pick out your outfits.
Yeah, I love picking out my outfits. I mean, that's like the fun part. And to be honest, I don't think I have like a set style either. I kind of have like a little bit of everything. I go, you know, I have sporty, I have like a hip hop style, I have a girly style. I kind of do it all. I kind of like, you know, a little bit of everything. But
you don't have a preppy style. That's...
No, I don't really have a lot of that. I mean, like a goth maybe like a sweater style with like a little college shirt underneath it. That's like as preppy as I'll go, I think.
Yeah, like that. Okay, I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like a little collar popping out of the sweater. Like, So yeah, and then I did that. I used to like doodle different little outfits and things like that. And my mom and all my mom's friends were like, oh, she's gonna be a fashion designer. Like,
you still can be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I never really got into the sewing part of it, but I do have a sewing machine now, so I really want to get into trying to make like clothes and things like that. I think that
would
be
really
fun. If
you know anywhere in Chicago that's really good on teaching how to sew or like things around that nature,
yeah,
comment message us, email us.
Trying to get into it.
I'm trying to find something from Rye to go to and try that out.
Yeah. But so then it was that. And then I actually had like a moment there. I used to cook with my grandparents all the time. We would, I would go over to their place and we would make cookies. We would make pasta dishes.
Your grandma loves to cook.
Yeah. So does my grandpa now too, actually. Yep. When I was younger, he wasn't really into cooking. Now he cooks more than my grandma.
Everybody cooks.
But I remember we had this like salsa day where we made like 10 different salsas, and like I just got into cooking a lot, I think, because of them. And I wanted to be a chef, go to like culinary school for a while there, which is funny because that's what one of his sisters does.
She graduated too. Yeah,
and so I wanted to do that for a while. Funny. And then the whole photography thing hit and I ended up sticking with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of the same way. I kind of, you know, tried a bunch of different things and some things didn't work out.
Yeah, I would literally change my mind literally every week.
Maybe it wasn't every week for me. No, like, it was definitely a little less often than that.
My mom was always just like, what is it this week? Like,
what new equipment do I have to buy this time?
Are you hockey now?
Oh my God, hockey's expensive. My little brother and my mom was like, no, you're not doing hockey, sorry. Like, you can do football.
But Zach and I did roller hockey in high school.
Mm.
So I would want a hockey stick and roller blades.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I actually want to get back into that. That would be fun. Yeah. Roller hockey.
We both were very like sporty growing up too. That is one thing that definitely stuck with both of us, is like,
and competitive.
I did gymnastics. Yes, we were very competitive. Like, we went to Lucky Strikes for New Year's, which is kind of like a, like, if you have a Dave and Buster's near you, or like, it's they have like bowling, they have ping darts. Pong darts, and then they have the whole like arcade scene. Yeah, we were very
Does Dave and Buster's have a bar? Because Lucky Strikes has a huge bar.
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they do, actually, yeah.
But anyway, we were very competitive at Lucky Strikes there. Like, there were, like, a bunch of other couples there because it was New Year's. It actually wasn't that busy, though.
No, we had, like, the whole place
to
ourselves.
It was, like, us and, like, maybe 10 other couples.
Maybe.
But it was great because, like, all the other couples were just, like, drunk and they were just, like, fooling around. But we were
sweating. I had to, like, take off my jacket. Like,
we were trying to beat all the records on all the different, like, games and stuff.
We were so close to that.
And just as a side note, I beat Zach's high score on the basketball.
That rim was so loose. No. I'm blaming it on the rim.
We tried different rims. Let's not go there. I got the high score of the night, I think. I think I hit like 111 or something.
Yeah, I think you did.
But then we were really mad because we were really trying to beat the C-ball record. And we were like, I think
one
we
ball
got
away.
One ball away probably like 20
times.
20 times! Yeah. Literally, we were so determined. I think we used like all our points on skee-ball that night trying to.
We're going to go back and try to beat it though.
We got it. We can
you
do it.
You get 500 tickets for the.
We can do it.
Yeah. It was so good. Yeah,
we're definitely competitive. We're definitely sporty. You know, I did gymnastics. I did tennis. I did soccer. Man, yeah.
What got you into... Oh, I know what got you into football. Your dad.
Football, yes.
Yeah. Mariah can throw a football further than some guys I know.
I remember the first time, like, when we first started hanging out, we went to Grant Park in Chicago, and
I remember that.
We threw around the football, and surprised.
This guy randomly comes and taps me on the shoulder, and I thought he was going to ask for directions or something. He's like, she's a keeper.
Yeah, he was like, man, she can really throw a football. I was like, yeah, thanks, Dad.
That was funny. I'll never forget that.
My dad taught me how to throw a football when I was really young.
He did a very good job.
And all that stuff.
Did a good job.
Yeah, so for a stint there, I was like, I want to be the only girl football player. I was like, I think that's going to be so cool.
But then the gymnast and breaking the bones probably didn't resonate with your parents too well.
Yeah, also the fact that I'm like the shortest girl in school.
and smallest.
I could maybe be like that little like bullet that like runs through everybody and stuff.
And then boom!
But as soon as I get tackled, I'd probably be smushed like a pancake, so... I don't think my mom would have ever let me do that.
Full body cast.
Yeah, I probably would have been like one of those girls in the bubbles. With like not being able to move anything.
So I don't even know if we're still on track with the whole origin story. We kind of got there a little bit, but
you know.
I want to go into mindset. Mindset for you as a photographer and mindset for me as a business marketer, strategist, whatever you want to call it, for 2020. So I'll let you go first with, like, for 2020, what is it that you really want to achieve, that you have goals for, accomplish? Like, where's your mindset right now going into 2020 for Zoom Studios?
I think my mindset right now is on a few different things. I think, one, I really want to, we're kind of going to be editing our website a little bit to really be focused on a specific niche of photography, for the wall art side of our business. And I think that niche is going to really go into double exposures, which I've been having a lot of fun with, and reflections, which is always something that's really interested me. And so I think just really focusing my viewpoint on those two things is going to help me be, one, more creative, kind of pushing myself to look at things differently. A big word for me is perspective. I love the word perspective just because in photography especially, perspective is huge. 'Cause, you know, growing up in Minnesota, I always felt like, oh, this is, you know, like such a small town. There's nothing here. Like, what am I supposed to take photos of? Like, I started off with just taking photos of flowers. Like, who doesn't do that? Like, boring. But then I was like, all right, I need to push myself. Like, how can I take a picture of this flower and make it look like I've never seen a picture of a flower before, right? Like, change the viewpoint of that flower. Like, you know, take it from upside down, or like with the light shining through it, or something like that, you know? So perspective of just your everyday things that you might see like a million times and not think anything of, but really changing your viewpoint and making it look different than you've ever seen it before. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
For me, definitely, I've talked about this, if you follow us on our social medias, I've been writing this a lot in the copies, is still planning, still strategizing, but then executing, because I would come up with a bunch of ideas, and
he's the idea machine. He's,
I would like, literally come up with so many ideas, but I would do one or two of them and not all of them. So that's one thing, is that going into 2020, I really want to come up with an idea and execute on it immediately, like as soon as possible.
Or writing it down so you don't forget it. That's key.
That too,
like,
that
if
too.
You're somewhere where you can't execute it right that second, like, it happens. But we have to get in the habit of writing it down so that when we do get a second to execute it, we don't forget it.
Right.
Because that does happen.
Another thing is, I really want to dabble more into ads. That's one big thing that I've been wanting to do for a while now, but we, starting Zoom Studios, knew that we weren't going to be taking out loans. We weren't going to be asking parents for money. We were going to be doing this all ourselves on our own budgets. So it is a little bit difficult.
It's going to be slower.
It's going to be slower. We're probably not going to be able to spend as much on the ads. But I definitely want to test and dabble into that, learn it a little bit more. That's two. And three, Definitely interact more with people, whether that be in person or whether that may be more, probably more on social media,
getting into the community. In-person stuff this summer.
Definitely.
Sure.
I think that's both of our thing too. It's like definitely doing more in-person things. We do have an idea of that sign, photo art sign. Okay. We don't get
You'll see it.
But definitely,
so we're gonna execute it.
definitely doing that a lot more. If you're struggling with social media, I know everyone and their brother and sister are talking about how the algorithm this, the algorithm that. It's not about the algorithm. It's about you as a person, as a business, not just being a business, a brand, but being a person who actually interacts with others and other people who have the same interests as you. So definitely getting into different things and testing a bunch of different things is a big thing on my mind. And just staying consistent with social media posts. I could go on and on about what I want to do, so I'll stop it there. But yeah. So hope that you guys enjoyed listening to the second podcast. We might have gone off the origin story there a little bit, but
you know,
who cares? Catch us on social media.
Let us know if there's anything you guys want us to talk about, touch on in any of these podcasts.
Yeah.
And we'll hit it up in the next one.
So hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Wherever you're listening to this, we hope that you get to your destination as safely as possible. And much love from Zach and Mariah.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Thanks for listening.